The new book, Riverman, is the true story of Dick Conant, who over the course of more than 20 years canoed solo thousands of miles of American rivers and then disappeared near the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Ben McGrath, a staff writer at The New Yorker, was one of the people in 2014 that met Conant by chance just north of New York City as Conant paddled down the Hudson River. The book is a portrait of a complex and fascinating man who is as troubled as he was charismatic, who struggled with mental illness and self-doubt and was ultimately unable to fashion a stable life for himself. The name of the book is Riverman, an American Odyssey. Ben McGrath, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's really nice to have you on the program. At what point in this process did you want to tell the story and sort of become interested in finding out more about this individual?
So I first met him just by accident in my town as he came down the Hudson River, like you mentioned. And at the time, I thought he was interesting enough to merit a sort of a small article. And he claimed to be on his way to Florida, which seemed an unusual thing to do in a canoe. what drew me back in for the long haul was that about 3 months later, I got a phone call from a park ranger in North Carolina saying he was investigating a missing boater. And he didn't know really anything about what he'd found. He'd found an upside down canoe, and my phone number and name were in it. And so I kind of felt eerily drawn in, almost like in a horror movie or something, kind of like a random person calls and says, "I found a piece of paper with your name on it. And I'm in North Carolina." And that became a kind of a mystery to me to kind of go deeper into.
When did you look at it even from the beginning as a mystery?
Well, so when I first met him, you can't help wondering in the back of your mind why someone's doing something like this, right? Like, it's an unusual ambition to canoe. I mean, the way it was described to me by my neighbor was he was canoeing from Canada to Florida. He actually started in Plattsburgh, so he was close to Canada. He didn't have a passport, so he couldn't get across the border. But so it's it's not a normal quote unquote thing to do. So you're wondering, all right, why are you doing this? And yet at the same time, he was, like you mentioned at the beginning, he was extremely charismatic. In conversation, he seemed so charming and kind of well versed in so many subjects that you're thinking, okay, well, he seems very capable. So what would lead him to do something like this? So yeah, there's a mystery, I think, that draws everyone who meets a person like this forward.
You read about this beautifully, but give us a sense of what the missions were for these solo excursions. I mean, they were such feats of planning and of physicality and perseverance of what he was hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, well, so on two levels there, just logistically speaking, let's take the penultimate journey, for instance. That was one where he started in Minnesota at the headwaters of the Mississippi River and was intending to reach the Atlantic Ocean. And so he went all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, across the Gulf, then upstream on a succession of rivers. Part of what he was doing was he was connecting bodies of water kind of the way that you and I might look at, you know, directions, or our phone now tells us directions to get from here to there, connecting roads, right? Like, you know, oh, you take 9W, get on the thruway, get off at exit 17. He's like, oh, you take the Tom Bigbee to the Tennessee, to the Holston, and then hitch a ride over the mountains and you get on the James, which was a kind of an interesting way of looking at the world. On a more emotional level, I think what these journeys were about was sort of boosting his self-esteem, because he, in this unique kind of career that he'd fashioned for himself, he was quite successful. Like, you know, he was, you know, dodging barges, you know, on major industrial rivers, and camping in hidden places in where you would never know it was possible to camp. And so he was kind of a legend in his way, and that allowed him to feel successful after a kind of a middle age that wasn't so successful. So that, in that way, it wasn't that different from all of us who find a hobby or something that makes us feel good about ourselves, even if we're not doing great at our job or whatever.
It seems one of the things I loved about this book is it seems like there's many takeaways. And I'm curious for you of what you hope people get out of reading about this most interesting individual?
So one of the main lessons for me was he represented a whole sort of genre of people who I think are generally overlooked in our society because they make us uncomfortable. Sort of we look at them and we recognize that something's wrong. And we kind of look away, and we're not curious enough to hear their stories. And then if we do hear something, it sounds a little bit implausible, and we're like, never mind, buddy. And what was remarkable to me at every turn of this story was everything that Dick Conant said he did. I mean, it was one of those, you know, it's almost like a cliche now, but the idea that truth is stranger than fiction.
Right.
Everything in this story seemed too unrealistic to be possible. And I don't just mean his own story, but I mean even then the stories that I would hear when I would call other people who met him and say, oh, by the way, that reminds me of this other guy who did this. It's like it was like a sort of a window into a whole world of sort of unlimited possibility. And so meeting Dick Conant and kind of investigating his life expanded my sense of what's possible in the world in a way that I kind of hope we'll do the same for other people.
The name of the book is Rivermen, An American Odyssey. It is published by Knopf. Ben McGrath, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.